as we continue on a Thursday afternoon. Coach John Quintero live from the San Diego Hall of Champions. Our crew down here working very hard to get everything set up tonight. We got a big banquet. I don't know, 150, 200 people stopping by the Hall of Champions tonight for the Lolita Student Athletes of the Week. And we're going to also have the Lolita Student Athlete of the Week yearly winner tonight. We're picking one a boy athlete, one a girl athlete, and they're going to receive a $1,500 scholarship tonight. And, again, we've got some very, very talented athletes, but we also have some very, very talented people in the classroom. When I went through all the GPAs, pretty amazing when you're talking about 3.9s, 4.1s, 4.2s, and even a 4.5 in the crew here tonight. So we'll look forward to doing that. And Lolita's been so gracious over the last couple of years sponsoring the Student Athletes of the Week awards and then doling out scholarships to two different athletes last year and again this year. We're going to get to Adam Day here shortly. He's a very busy man. And if you're just getting out of work right now, the big announcement today, 11:05 out of Qualcomm Stadium, that the Citizen Stadium Advisory Group has picked the Qualcomm site as a site for the proposed stadium. There were four speakers, Adam Day, Rob Hutzel, the executive director of the San Diego River Foundation, Sean Merriman, the former Chargers linebacker, and Rafael Flores from Bold Pride, a season ticket holder since 1992. Adam officially announced the recommendation of Mission Valley as a potential site for a new stadium. It's a better choice for a multi-purpose stadium than downtown. We'll get back to phone calls as well. Also, a little bit later on, we've got a couple of pair of tickets to give away before I get out of here at 5:30 and get into the Aztec basketball pregame show for the Cholos game tomorrow night down in Tijuana against Veracruz. Cholos got beat last night, but boy, they've been playing some great soccer. Really gotten off to a very, very good start this year. NFL, and boy, there's a ton of news today. Dwayne Bowe, as expected, was officially released today by the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, there may be some Charger fans out there that think Dwayne Bowe should be the guy that they bring in here. I'm not one of those guys. Dwayne Bowe, I've always thought, had great ability, doesn't have great speed, but he's an extremely physical receiver. And if he came, I wouldn't yell and scream about it, but I'm not going to go out and pay him big money. He just has never really produced. When you look at his athletic ability, he's never really lived up to what you think. And maybe he never will. I mean, he's getting long in the tooth now and made a lot of money in Kansas City. There's going to be somebody out there that's going to bring Dwayne Bowe in and see if they can kind of rehabilitate him from the standpoint of getting him to play a little bit harder, be more productive. Just hadn't worked out in Kansas City. You know, the last year, Kansas City, they didn't throw a touchdown pass to their wide receivers last year. In 16 games, how can that be? How can that be, even from the one-yard line? Oh, I remember Pete Carroll likes to throw those balls from the one-yard line. But from the one-yard line, you couldn't throw a touchdown pass? And I don't want to hear about Alex Smith not being a great quarterback. Alex Smith is a fine NFL quarterback. Not just because he grew up here in San Diego, went to Helix High School. Alex Smith's won a lot of football games. And Dwayne Bowe just wasn't able to get it done. And now they're bringing in Jeremy Maclin. That's a big sign for Andy Reid. That's a huge sign for Andy Reid. Jeremy Maclin is a dynamite player. Philadelphia, I'm not really sure what Chip Kelly's doing there, but I know this. He got two pretty good running backs the last 2 days. And I know Charger fans are going, yeah, but, you know, how long is Ryan Matthews going to last there? Hey, Ryan Matthews, by not being the number one guy and playing behind DeMarco Murray, who is signing with the Eagles today, I wonder what Jerry Jones thinks about that one. Ryan Matthews could be very productive. Ryan Matthews can catch the ball out of the backfield. Ryan Matthews can run the ball. He won't be asked to be the number one guy day in and day out. I mean, you look at DeMarco Murray. Now, he was a workhorse, and he can't carry the ball next year or the following year as much as he did last year in Dallas. He had over 1,800 yards, led the NFL in rushing last year, and had 13 touchdowns. But he's a dynamite guy catching the ball out of the backfield as well. Now, there are also stories because the Raiders wanted to make a move on DeMarco Murray. And all of a sudden, boom, last night, he's on a plane flight to Philadelphia. Raiders had a ton of money for him. In fact, they probably would have paid him more money to go play for the Raiders than they're paying for him in Philadelphia. But it didn't happen. Now you got to wonder. They're saying all the right things today. Well, Ryan Matthews still going to be a member of the Eagles. Hey, it wouldn't surprise me in the least if Chip Kelly's on the phone with Reggie McKenzie of the Raiders right now and wanted to work a deal to send Ryan Matthews to the Raiders. It would not surprise me in the least if Ryan Matthews ended up playing for the Silver and Black next year. Now, as far as the Chargers, and they've got a lot of work to do right now. I like the signing of Orlando Franklin. I think he's a doggone good offensive lineman. And if you've been listening to my night show, I think one of the things that's very important, they've got to get a read early in camp about what they're going to do with DJ Fluker. There seems to be, and even though they've already come out and said, well, you know, we're going to keep him at right tackle, I'm not so sure that's the case. Talking to some people that know a lot about offensive line play, they told me that they feel Fluker is better suited to be a right guard because as he gets older, he's not going to pick up quickness and speed, and he could probably play a longer, lengthier career playing the right guard. And I think with Franklin coming in, now he's played a lot of guard, but he's also played a lot of tackle, and he's a solid football player. Now, some people are telling me that right now Chris Watt is going to be the starting center. Not so fast, my friends, as Lee Corso would say. I think he may be better suited to play left guard. I don't think the Chargers right now, even though they signed Trevor Robinson the other day, who was one of their backup, he was their fifth center last year. They signed him to a two-year contract. I don't think the Chargers center is with the organization right now. I think that they may have to either sign a veteran that they think can come in and be a starter, or they're going to have to draft a center in this upcoming draft. And you start talking about what are the Chargers going to draft? I mean, they still have to get more depth on the offensive line. They need a running back. They need, I think, a defensive tackle. They need an inside defensive lineman that can get the job done. And right now, I just don't know if they can get everything they need. And any free agent that you're going to sign right now isn't going to be one of those guys that's going to come in and be a difference maker. Might come in and be a starter, but, you know, probably going to be somebody that's just kind of filling the gap as a depth guy more than a true starter that can come in and get the job done. I don't think, and maybe I'm wrong, I'd love to hear from you Charger fans, and I don't want myopic fans calling me. Okay, I want people that are realists when they call the talk show. Okay, not everything is all rosy when it comes to the San Diego Chargers on the field. Hey, let's remember, 2 years ago, they finished tied for a second place, lost the tiebreaker to Kansas City. Okay, so they were a third-place team. You know what? This past year, they were a third-place team. And look what Kansas City did to them on the last game of the season at Arrowhead Stadium. The Chargers are a third-place team, and everybody in San Diego is running around thinking they're going to the Super Bowl next year. They think they can really compete against Denver and Peyton Manning and against Kansas City. Hey, I got news for you. Next year is a huge year, I think, for Mr. McCoy. I think it's a huge year for a lot of guys on this roster. I mean, they didn't go to the playoffs this year. Yeah, they went last year, but a lot of things, and give them credit, they played well down the stretch. But a lot of things, the stars had to be aligned. They had to win, and a bunch of other teams had to lose, and it aligned perfectly. But again, at the end of the day, they were a third-place team. You say, well, they got into the playoffs. Yeah, they got into the playoffs, but, you know, and won a game and then ran out of gas against Denver. As long as Peyton Manning is in an upright position, the Denver Broncos are going to be the favorite to win this division year in and year out. Denver's got it going. They've got it going on the offensive side of the ball. They've upgraded their defense this year. Denver's going to be a better football team this coming year than they were a year ago. I'm not so sure about 2 years ago, but they're definitely going to be better than they were last season when they flat out ran out of gas and Manning got hurt and played very poorly down the stretch. So give me a call. Give me your thoughts on the Chargers. Give me your realistic opinions on the San Diego Chargers. San Diego, 858-457-1090. Our toll-free number, 877-792-1090. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Tony Manolatos. Tony is the spokesperson for the Citizen Stadium Advisory Group. He will join us next on the Corky's Hotline on San Diego Sports Leader the mighty 1090.
It's Darren Smith.
Talking to Philip Rivers, Charger quarterback. How much are you paying attention to all the stuff that's happening here with the LA stuff?
I'd be lying to say I wasn't paying attention to it, but at the same time, I don't think I'm trying to get ahead of myself. I think it's just a lot of noise at this point. It's been talked about for the whole time I've been here, and you knew it was going to kind of come to at some point. It looks like it is.
Darren Smith, weekdays at noon.
Hey, you know what I miss most? We go to LA. I mean, what are you going to do? I guess I'd say I'd still come on the air.
The question is whether or not we'd still talk about you guys.
We ain't going anywhere.
On San Diego's sports leader, the mighty 1090.
Back here at the San Diego Hall of Champions, getting ready for the big Lolita Student Athletes of the Week dinner tonight. We're going to be with you until 5:30, and then we'll get you to the Aztec basketball pregame show coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. Quarterfinal action, the Aztecs going against UNLV. Well, the big announcement this morning out of Qualcomm Stadium. We're going to be joined right now by Tony Monolatos, who's a spokesperson for the Citizen Stadium Advisory Group. He joins us on the Corky's Hotline on the Mighty 1090. Tony, a good first step, I think, today.
Thank you, Coach K. Yeah, it was a heck of a turnout. I was expecting a good crowd, but it was more attention than I thought. But as you know, this is an intense issue and a lot of interest in it.
Tony, you know, we talked when I was sitting in for Scotty on Friday, and BNR and I were working together. You know, we were talking about, you know, where they'd kind of gone, and then we found out yesterday they sped it up good enough to where they felt comfortable going to the mayor, and it was a 9-0 vote, so it wasn't like, you know, 5-4. It was a 9-0 vote, and when you start breaking everything down and putting the stars aligned, it seemed like the Qualcomm site really was a slam dunk.
In a lot of ways, it was. I mean, they certainly spent a lot of time on the downtown site and didn't give it short shrift. But just too many things, too many issues down there, and too many positives up at the Qualcomm site. I mean, for starters, you know, the city would have to piece together land downtown from multiple owners, and that process, you know, that could end up with some litigation issues. You could, because of eminent domain. It could cost the city more money than people are estimating. That alone right there is a hornet's nest. When you juxtapose that with Mission Valley, where you're sitting on 166 acres that the city owns.
Tony, let me ask you this regarding the stadium. And again, the financial issue is still there, and they've got till the middle of May or, you know, May 20th, somewhere around there, to put together a viable financial plan and give that to the mayor. If they were able to come up with a viable financial plan and they were able to do whatever they need, whether it goes to a vote in 2016, when do you think they could actually have a stadium in place? Because if they went downtown, I mean, it probably wouldn't be till 2022 or later.
Yeah, it, you're exactly right. And I take Jim Steig's points on this. He says, and, you know, he's Mr. Super Bowl, Mr. NFL executive vice president for the former executive vice president for the Chargers, now a member of the Citizen Stadium Advisory Group. And he says, Coach K, that this is your best shot. Mission Valley is the city's best shot at getting a stadium built before the end of the decade. It's not going to happen in a year or two, but before the end of the decade for sure.
You know, Tony, that's interesting because I know talking with Jim Steig, even prior to him being on this committee, he was very intrigued with looking into the downtown issue. And I'm sure, obviously, he's on the committee, he did. But, I mean, he went into this very open-minded because when I talked to him, he talked a lot about downtown.
They all had an open mind. I will tell you, though, Coach K, there's a few of them came into this process convinced that it needed to be downtown, either because they have a business down there or for a lot of different reasons. There was a handful of members that were convinced that this stadium needed to be built downtown. I mean, when you look at the architectural drawings, it's beautiful. So, but throughout the research process, they all landed on Mission Valley, and it wasn't like there was any hemming and hawing at the end. I mean, it was sort of a anticlimactic vote, if you will.
We're visiting with Tony Manalatos. He is the spokesperson for the Citizens Stadium Advisory Group, joining us on the Corky's Hotline. Tony, yesterday in the Union Tribune, they had the renderings of a proposed stadium downtown. Do you think either tomorrow or in the coming few days we may see the renderings in the Union Tribune of a proposed site at, for a stadium at Qualcomm?
Well, that'd be nice. You know, if it gets done up there, Coach K, you know it's going to have to be a multi-use stadium. It's going to have to be a stadium that's for the Chargers, for the Aztecs, for high school football, playoffs, for rock concerts, political events, monster truck jams. So, yeah, I'd love to take a look at what that might look like.
So you haven't seen anything like that yet? Nobody's put that together?
No. As you know, this is a volunteer group, and we don't have any graphic artists among us.
I like that. Hey, JMI yesterday said that, you know, hey, they want to see a new stadium in San Diego. And, of course, they were pushing for the downtown site. Do you think JMI could help facilitate a financial plan and work with the CSAG group right now?
Absolutely. You know, the group met with JMI recently and spent a few hours meeting with JMI and was very impressed with JMI. John Kratzer, wonderful man, real visionary. They've done a lot of tremendous work. And, yeah, I do think that there's potential there for them to be a partner in this.
Hey, Tony, I'll let you get out of here on this. You know, one of the things that people keep talking about, you know, they talk about, hey, we need a new stadium in San Diego. But one of the things that's kind of forgotten, our sports arena is a little bit older than the stadium. Has there been any talk at all about an arena as well in some of the conversations you've had?
Well, I'm going to bring up Jim Steig again because he thinks that's a phenomenal idea. He thinks that actually what should go down there is a arena for your AAA hockey to lure an NBA team into town. He thinks it's the perfect space down there.
That would be great. Now, where does it go from here? Are we going to have any more press conferences here in the next week, or is everything going to be pretty much buttoned down, quiet down, and they're going to slowly, diligently work on a financial plan?
Yep, you got it. You got the crystal ball, and that's exactly what we expect to happen. Adam Day, the chair, reached out to Commissioner Goodell in a letter a couple weeks ago, and Eric Grubner, who, as you know, is the NFL's VP for stadium ups and kind of the point man up there in L.A., he wrote Adam back. And so that's sort of the next thing on the agenda, along with the financing work. And we expect to meet with the group expects to meet with Eric probably in April. But really, yeah, it's just, okay, now how do we put what's going to go into this frame is what we like to call it, because the advisory group's going to put together the framework, and the mayor and Mr. Spanos then will take that framework and finish the house. We're just one part of this process.
But it's been a very vital part of the process. As I let you go, Tony, I mean, we've been talking about this for over 13 and a half years, and today the press conference, at least making a determination what site the proposed stadium would be at, that's the biggest step we've taken in 13 and a half years.
Absolutely. You could feel the momentum. When you got guys there like Sean Merriman and we got LT in our press release. He couldn't make it today, so he sent us a quote for the release. And you got all these fans there, and you could just feel the momentum. And this, people like when people are decisive. You know, people don't elect politicians because they want them to be sort of wishy-washy. This isn't a group of politicians, but these are leaders. These are community leaders, and they're acting. And I think it's great. I think you can feel the momentum.
Hey, Tony, thanks, number one, for being so available, because it really does a great service to our community when people such as yourself are involved and you make yourself available to continue to let people know what's going on out there. And we'll look forward to having you on again here real soon with hopefully a little more good news.
Thanks, Coach K. Great talking to you.
Great having him on. Tony Monolatos, he's a spokesperson for the Citizen Stadium Advisory Group, joining us there on the Corky's Hotline. Some good stuff right there. You know, I got an email from a gentleman. Some of the emails are great. Guys that know friends of mine, and he would just sending me an email, kind of giving me the old raspberry. He goes, hey, I know you're like me. I know you want to have the Chargers stay here, and you keep saying the Chargers want a stadium. He goes, the Chargers need a stadium. Hey, I want a stadium too, don't you? I think most people, unless you're not a sports fan, you probably don't want to have a stadium. Now, there's some sports fans out in our listening audience that think, you know, we should use that money on other areas. Now, I saw, what, the other night, Mayor Faulkner, over the next 5 years, he wants to redo 1,000 miles of pavement here in San Diego with potholes and cracks. And, hey, I'm all for that. I'm all for that. But if you're going to keep an NFL team here and bring other outstanding events, whether it be a national championship game in football or in basketball, you know, bring in an MLS franchise, you got to have a state-of-the-art stadium, okay? You're not going to bring in an MLS team. And there are a lot of people in this county that really love soccer. And when they play at Qualcomm right now, when, you know, Team Mexico comes up and plays a friendly, or the United States has come in and played a friendly, they normally get pretty good crowds. But let me tell you, if you have a stadium, a brand-new state-of-the-art stadium, you're going to be able to go to the commissioner of the MLS, Don Gerber, and you're going to be able to say, hey, you know what, we're ready. This is our facility. Come check it out. We got somebody that wants to buy a team and bring it to San Diego. I mean, I think soccer, outdoor soccer in this community would be absolutely huge with all the kids that are playing right now. And believe me, there are a lot of kids, a lot like hockey players, kids that play junior hockey that go up and see the Ducks and the Kings. There are a lot of kids right here, both male and female, that go up on a fairly regular basis to watch the LA Galaxy up there in Carson. We'll take a timeout, bottom of the hour, an update with the lovely Linda Welby. When we come back the next half hour, we're going to get to your phone calls. Everyone got an opinion? Hey, I'm telling you right now, I don't think the Chargers have bettered themselves to this point in NFL free agency. I think they've done some good things, but I think Kansas City getting Jeremy Maclin was huge. I think Denver is the best team in the division. You tell me. San Diego, 858-457-1090. Our toll-free number, 877-792-1090. Update, back with your calls next on San Diego Sports Leader, the Mighty 1090.
The Mighty 1090 Hotline is presented by Corky's.
Call 1-800-901-1102. Corky's!
I was talking about the Chargers not you know, getting better right now. Yeah, they brought in a couple of pretty good football players, but they need more. They need more. Well, one of those guys will not be coming to San Diego. He signed a one-year deal with the Washington Redskins. That's former Denver defensive tackle Terrence Knight, in a one-year deal for $4 million. $4 million, you could have had a legitimate, big-time defensive tackle. He had 31 tackles last year, but the thing about Knight, I mean, he gobbles up double teams when in the middle of that line. That's what the Chargers need right now. Let's get back to the phones. We're going to rifle through a bunch of phone calls. Coming up top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Clark Judge, NFL writer, give us his thoughts on NFL free agency and talk a little bit about Chip Kelly and get his thoughts on where the Chargers are at right now. Randy in Chula Vista, you're on with Coach John Quintero on the Mighty 1090. Welcome.
Hey, Coach. I just want to know, I have a couple questions, and one of them is the if the Chargers were to move into Los Angeles County,
right?
Where are they going to get their fan base from? I mean, they're only talking 20%, and of course, most of Los Angeles themselves are the Raiders fans. Now they're banking, I'm sure, as the number two TV market revenue. You know, number one, of course, is New York.
Right.
But other than that, I mean, unless they expect some of the San Diego fans, if they were to move to L.A., my deal is that they should have at least commented, you know, on the Mission Valley with this task force, you know. Yay or
well,
nay?
They have Mark Fabiani, the special counsel. He was up in Carson today. He's not commented that I'm aware of right now, and certainly hadn't commented before I went on the air this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Now, from what we understand, yesterday he had a no comment when he was told the announcement was going to be made for the Qualcomm site, but he also said on Dan Cilio's show earlier this week, I think it was on Monday, that the Spanoses were happy with either site. So, you know, that's a good thing. Now, to answer your question, Randy, regarding the fan base, you know, I know there's a pretty good contingent of people that come to Charger games from Orange County. I don't know about, you know, the greater Los Angeles area, but if you put a team in Carson, I think the Chargers would draw quite a few fans. Remember, it is the National Football League, and people are going to come, and, you know, Raider fans are going to come. And, hey, if you're really into football, you could go to a game probably, you know, 14 or 15 straight Sundays or Monday nights. And, you know, you could be a season ticket holder for both teams if that stadium ended up being built in Carson. But you know what? The Chargers, there's a lot of people out there that like their uniforms. They like Phillip Rivers. And the Chargers have a really, considering they've only won one true championship, and that was in 1963. When they beat the Boston Patriots 51-10 at Balboa Stadium, they've got a lot of people out there that are always pulling for the Chargers. And, you know, well, we're going to see what goes on. But you know what? I don't think the Chargers would have done this unless they knew exactly what they're doing. Guys like Fabiani, they measure everything before they put their foot in the mouth. I think Fabiani, and I've said it before, I think he's an extremely bright man. I think everything he's said and done over the last few weeks that irritated people, it's been good from a standpoint. It's gotten a lot of other people off their derriere and get moving and get things done here in San Diego. Hey, Randy, thanks for the phone call, and hopefully I answered that question for you, my friend.
Yes, yeah, well, I did have one more question for you. What are your actual true feelings on the Chargers okaying with the I guess they have to wait for the financial plan as well, I'm sure. But do you personally feel that the Chargers are going to go for it in Mission Valley?
Oh, I think there's no question. No question, we're going to find a way to get it done. It's come this far. I think the people that are on this committee, they're of high integrity. They want to get it done. I don't think they would have ever accepted Mayor Faulkner's offer to be on this committee unless they thought they could really and truly put together a proposal for site and for finances. You got some really, really powerful people on that committee, and I got a lot of confidence in them that they're going to find a way to get this thing done. I think getting Roger Goodell in here in April to sit down with the committee and the mayor and keep pushing and find out what the NFL is willing to throw in, find out exactly what the figure is from the Chargers. Let's get this thing done. Let's get a brand new stadium here. Hey, Randy, thanks for the phone call, my friend. Look forward to hearing from you again. There you go. Let's get out to Chula Vista once again. Everybody in Chula Vista wants to call the coach today. Steve, welcome to the Mighty 1090. How you doing? Go right ahead, Steve.
How's it going, Coach?
I'm going well. Busy day today, an exciting day, though. A good first step, I think.
Hey, a first step. You know what? The stadium issue, that's been a headache since, you know, I'm 25. I've been dealing with wanting a new stadium since I was 10 years old. So, I mean, you know what? More power to the city if they can actually get this done. But the mayor's under scrutiny right now, and you can believe it, but hey, this is a step in the right direction, and, you know, more power to the city of San Diego for actually getting this committee up and going.
It's the furthest we've come in 13 and a half years.
13 and a half years, it seems like a lifetime.
I agree with that. In fact, I'll tell you, I think the last 6 weeks seems like a lifetime.
Oh, trust me. You know what? They said they were going to reach a decision by the fall, I believe, you know, but they got it out, you know, because the fan base was just, the rally was incredible. I went to it about a week ago, I believe, and, I mean, the fan base here, there's a lot of diehard Charger fans. I remember watching Charger games in my diapers. I mean, the Chargers need to solidify their stay in San Diego. You know, diehard Charger fans, you know, it's just the San Diego Chargers, not the Los Angeles Chargers, not the Whittier County, whatever. I mean, it's San Diego. So that's where they're going to stay. But, I mean, I've been having a headache with this free agency thing because I tune into, you know, your guys' show in the morning. I'm like, oh, no, the Chargers made a big move. And it's had me, you know, it's had me tumbling. But, you know, they solidified a couple players. My question is to you. Does Tom Telesco have like, some sort of, you know, issue against signing players or, I'm sorry, signing Ryan Matthews again? Because, I mean, we kind of gave him a chance last year, but he got hurt. But was there something that, you know, we don't know about that kind of said we're going to go away from Ryan Matthews instead of just, you know, giving him a one-year prove-it deal or, you know?
No, not at all. I mean, no, I don't think so. I mean, I think Telesco knows that Ryan Matthews is a very nice talent. I think that he also realizes that Ryan, if you're going to be a number one back, you got to be more durable. I don't know what the conversations were between Mr. Telesco and the agent for Ryan Matthews, but I would like to see Ryan come back on a one-year contract, you know, incentive laden. But you know, that's you know, GM talk more than anything else. I mean, the guy is a dynamite football player when he's on the field. Now he gets a sweetheart deal from Philadelphia. You can't blame him for, you know, going and taking that. Now, he may not end up there once the season gets underway. He may end up with the Raiders or somewhere else because I don't know how you can pay two guys like him and DeMarco Murray. Murray got a big-time contract today to leave the Dallas Cowboys. But, you know, they can find another running back to the leverage of a guy like Matthews. Probably not, but that guy may play 14 or 15 or 16 games where Ryan, you know, is playing, you know, 10 or 9. When he's on the field, he's productive, but he has a hard time staying on the field. Hey, Steve, thanks for the phone call. Good comment, my friend.
Hey, thank you, sir. Have a good one.
You're welcome. Let's not get another quick call before we get to a break. We've still got those Cholo tickets to give out to Veracruz tomorrow night down in Tijuana. Josh in San Diego, thanks for being patient. You're on with Coach John Quintero on the Mighty 1090. Welcome.
How you doing, Coach?
Doing well. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I just wanted to call. I was listening to you talk about, you know, you thought that the Chargers made some good moves thus far and but you still think the Chiefs and the Broncos are better than us. I know it's from all the moves being made and whatnot by other teams, and we're kind of sitting pat. It may look from the outside that we're not improving much. But, I mean, like I said, it's early on in free agency. What is it, day three?
Yeah, but you've got a lot of big-name guys going off the board already.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think Telesco, he's very similar to me in the way he approaches things as A.J. Smith does, I think with a lot less of the ego. I don't think the Chargers needed a big name. I don't think they need a big-name guy. I think they already have kind of their plan and process set in mind. I agree that Terrence Knighton would have been a huge victory to land him, but I mean, Orlando Franklin is going to be a huge upgrade.
He's a good football player.
I mean, adding somebody big with that size inside, I think it all comes down to the scheme when it's all said and done. And as for Denver, I agree with the fact that they'll be the favorite. I mean, you can't not pick them as a favorite. But Peyton Manning is not Peyton Manning of old. He's throwing ducks left and right, and that was prior to his injury against the Chargers. I don't see that team being the same team next year, especially with the losses that they're incurring right now. But that's just my take. Love the show. Talk to you soon.
All right, Josh, thank you very much. Now, I will say this about Peyton Manning. He always thrown ducks, though. Even in his heyday, he threw ducks. He doesn't throw the pretty ball like some of the other quarterbacks around the NFL does. I don't know why he doesn't throw more spirals. But the thing that I would say about Peyton Manning, until he got hurt, arguably he was maybe going to have as good a year as ever had in the NFL. And the other thing is he was still in the running in week 9 and week 10. He was definitely, without a doubt, in the conversation for the most valuable player in the National Football League. And then he got hurt, and you could tell, oh, they're going to the running game. We all were saying, I said it even before, 3 or 4 weeks before it came out. I go, there's something wrong with Peyton Manning. When you've watched Manning play as long as a lot of us have, you knew there was something physically wrong with him. And, of course, we find out after they get beat in the playoffs. We need a quick timeout. Josh, thanks again for that phone call. We'll come back. We'll get to more phone calls. We're going to talk a lot of NFL coming up at the top of the hour with Clark Judge. I love having Clark Judge on. He's covered the NFL for a long, long time, got great opinions. And, again, we're taking you to the bottom of the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to take you over to Thomas and Matt getting ready for Aztec basketball tonight. They're going against UNLV. UNLV, a couple of their players yesterday said the Aztecs should be worried about tonight's ball game. Back after this on San Diego Sports Leader, the Mighty 1090.
It's Dan Cilio.
I will not get dragged down into the gutter. I have learned from my mistakes.
Tomorrow morning at 6 on San Diego Sports Leader, the Mighty 1090.
Getting close to the top of the hour. Let's duck in one quick call. I think we can get to one quick call here. Jason in San Diego, you're on with Coach John Quintero. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Coach? Thanks for having me.
Hey, not a problem. Wanted to get you in before I get to my next interview coming up here.
Okay, sure. I totally agree with you, Coach. You know, one thing, it's one thing to re-sign the players that, you know, we have last year that we actually did have a liking for. But, you know, the thing is here, going into this offseason and having the cap space, we are supposed to be focused on improving as a team. Now, losing a player like Eddie Royal, who was a good player for us, I mean, it kind of seems like our approach with free agency is we're kind of sitting around and seeing how many teams pass up on players, and then we'll throw them a kind of a low ball contract. And I understand us taking that approach when we didn't have the cap space, but I'm not saying that we need to go out here and throw the whole pocketbook around, Coach, but there's a few players like to replace, you know, some Dwight Freeney, you know, maybe a Brian Arakpo, you know, even the Terrence Knighting deal that we missed out on $4 million for this guy for 1 year. That would have been huge for us. But, Coach, it just scares me to see our approach to where we're kind of losing players that are more talented players, and then it leaves more holes in our team going into the draft. And I don't see how this is really working out for us, Coach.
Well, Jason, you know, I think everyone has a strategy, and I think if you look at the tree that Tom Telesco came off of, Bill Polian wasn't a guy that went out there and spent a ton of money on big-name free agents. He gauged, you know, the value of players, and he stuck to it, and very seldom, wanted a higher number. If he thought, you know, $4 million was for this guy, then he's not going to pay more than $4 million. And I think Tom Telesco is a pretty smart guy. I really think he's an outstanding football man, and I'm sure that he's got a method to what he's doing right now. But, you know, there's some good players. Like, Knighton could have come in here and really helped this football team for 1 year. And if you like him, he's 28 years of age. You figure he's got probably 2 to 3 years left. I mean, those guys in the middle of that defensive line take a tremendous beating. But he's been pretty consistent. He had 31 tackles this year. The year before, he had 30. I think it would have really helped the pass rush if you got a guy like Terrence Knighton. And the Redskins, you know, they decided to give him that 1 year deal at $4 million. There are some other guys out there, but the bottom line, the Chargers have a lot of needs right now. I mean, the offensive line continues to need a starter, as well as, I think, a couple of solid backups. I don't know what they're going to do with Johnny Trautman. He got hurt there at the end of the year. Again, I think Watt's probably better suited to play left guard than center, so they may sign a veteran center. We'll wait and see, and obviously they need a running back because, you know, with what you got right now, Brandon Oliver, Donald Brown, Danny Woodhead, those guys aren't every down backs. You need a big, a stout running back that can take that pounding week in and week out. Hey, thank you very much, Jason, for the phone call, and look forward to visiting with you again. We need to get to the top of the hour. We'll get you a Linda Welby update. When we come back, the final half hour, we're going to be joined for a few minutes by Clark Judge, a longtime NFL writer, and has a dynamite website for you NFL fans, check this one out, talkoffamenetwork.com. We'll visit with Clark Judge next, right here on San Diego Sports Leader, the Mighty 1090. We're San